outside the car. She said, we need to pray. Yeah. See, that's the problem. We don't want to pray. We want the benefits of prayer, but we don't want to be the proprietor of prayer. We don't want to be the progenitor. We don't want to be the one who actually prays, but we want the benefits of the prayer. We want you to pray for us so we can get the blessing, but we don't. You're not going to be the one to pray to get the blessing or to be a blessing. And so we need to pray more now than we ever done in before in our lives. And not only that, but next month, it's the month of harvest. We're undigging wells, the well of worship, the well of prayer, and the well of harvest. All of these things, these cards, if you have a prayer request, you should have received one of these cards. Did we pass out the cards, Christian? Did we? Amen. I want you to fill out that prayer request card. Put it at the altar. Place it at the altar. We're going to be praying and interceding on your behalf. But here's the other part to that. Not only will we be praying for you, we're going to be praying with you. Somebody shout, what's the difference? I'm glad you asked. People praying for you is just praying a generalized prayer. But people who are praying with you is in agreement with what you're praying for. So y'all been asking people, pray for me. You need to be asking people, pray with me. I need you to agree with me on what I'm seeking God after. I don't need a generalized prayer. I need you to touch God and touch heaven with the specific thing that I'm praying for. Remember, the Bible says if two touch and agree, that means we got to be in agreement. So I don't need you walking away in your private prayer closet, Lord bless him, Lord heal. No, I need you to specifically target the prayer target I gave you and hit the mark. Some of y'all been wondering why prayers hadn't been answered, because you're praying with the wrong prayer partner. They hadn't been in agreement with you. Tell your neighbor, change partners. Yeah, you need people who are going to pray with you, with you, with you. And some of us are scared or afraid to share our prayer requests. Then what's the point of praying? Oh, God will show you. No. I'm not going to leave that up to you to hear from God for me. I'm going to just tell you, I need a breakthrough. I need finances. Now, touch and agree with me that I'm going to get a breakthrough and I'm going to get finances. So when you go and pray, what you going to pray for? You in agreement with me? Can we agree that God going to give me a breakthrough? If they tell you no, say, oh, wrong one. Y'all got it? Because that's how you have to pray these days. Because your prayers will go amiss. You're wasting time praying with people who can't get a prayer through. Or watch your selfish people who are going to take time to just pray their needs and forget all about your needs. You know how it is. You tell somebody, pray for me. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. They walk away and they forget about it. Some of us have done that. Or they begin to pray for other things other than the thing that you need them to pray for. No, I need you to be in 100% agreement, because that's the way to get a prayer through. It's called the prayer of unity. We're touching and agreeing. How can two walk together unless they agree? Y'all got it? Okay, so fill out that prayer request. You can put it at the altar at any given time throughout the sermon, throughout this service. Just lay it at the altar. You won't distract. Amen. Did y'all fill out your cards? Anybody need a prayer card? My hands are going up. Can we get cards in all of these hands? We need to do it every Sunday. Amen. Amen. Keep that hand lift. Fill it out. Amen. Some over there. Amen. Some of y'all weren't here. Get three of them. Praise God. Amen. Now, this is what I want you to do, because we're praying with you. I want you to put your number on that card as well. Our intercessors are going to call you and touch with you verbally and agree. On the side of the card to the right is a place to place three names of three people that you're praying for. If there's more, put more. Put them on the back. Amen. Put them out by name. We want to call them out. Amen. Everybody got a card? Everybody got a card? Amen. Fill that card out. Amen. While you're filling the card out, we're going to do some work. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, place it on the altar at any given time. Hallelujah. And since today is the last day, I'm going to anoint all these cards with oil, and we're going to begin to pray. Altar. Yeah, I think some people need ink pens. Yeah, Nicolette. Amen. Wasn't worship amazing? Come on, let's give the worship team a hand clap. And the band. We're going to pray for them. We're going to have them at the altar at the end of service. See? Playing Prince in his own service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to Elevate. Yeah. Yeah, we do church a little different. For you, first time and second time, we do church different. Amen. Let's say Taurus. I always know worship going to be high when Taurus start bobbing his head. When he can... That's the moment that the Holy Ghost step in. Amen. He don't bob his head, we're in trouble. Amen. Praise God. Grab your Bibles all over the place. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord on today. And if you're able, stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. I'll disrupt your prayer moment as you're filling out that card so we can get this out the way. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14 is where we'll begin reading. Then we'll go to the book of Psalm, number 63, verse number 1 through 8. If you have it, say, I have it. Ooh, if you're looking, say, I'm looking. If you're waiting for me to put it on the screen, say, thank you, Jesus. That is the multitudes. Amen. Amen. We'll begin in Psalm. I'm going to forego our faith declaration on today so we can jump right in. Psalms number 63, verse number 1. The word of the Lord declares, O God, art thou my God? Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Yes, it is. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Yes, he has. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wing, I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. That's a weighty statement there. My soul follow, not just follow you, but hard. After thee. Thy right hand holdeth up me. Dance over to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for inclining your ear to our prayers. You're a sovereign, merciful, gracious God. And Father, for that we thank you. Somebody shall thank you. Now say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So we're talking about prayer on today. And in this time of prayer, I'll try to give us some nuggets that I hope will stick with you throughout the week and possibly even alter the way you pray. I have three children. I have a 26-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 14-year-old, and they hate when I talk about them during a message. But I saw a T-shirt on yesterday. It says, warning, anything you say before this pastor can be used in a sermon. So, amen. This is the disclaimer unto you. Anything you say will be used in a sermon. And so those three kids, and so my oldest, he lives in Arizona, and my middle child, my daughter, she's at Grambling State University, her second year. Amen. Y'all don't have to clap too loud, but clap for the sake of Lady T. Amen. And we got into this argument about last year or year before last, some of that time, because, you know, kids, they call you when they want something. Where the parents at? right? My 26-year-old, sometimes he go long stints of time without communicating. And then all of a sudden I'll get this text, "Hey, Pop." It's the precursor to the ask. Because I know the follow-up. Can I, will you, do you have, can I borrow some money? And so I typically generally don't respond because I know it's all about the ask. So, and I know if I don't respond to the text, soon he'll give a phone call. "Hey, Dad, what you doing?" "Nothing." "Oh, you okay?" "Yeah." "Can I borrow? Will you loan?" Now, you know, borrow for kids is different from our borrow. Because borrow in my day is you come, you get it, but you bring it back. Loan is different from kids nowadays. Loan means that I'm a loan it to you, and then you're going to pay me back. I have yet to be paid back. Right? And so it's stints and times of communication that are lacking. And so I had this conversation with both of them. I was like, you know, I'm tired of y'all just keep, you know, texting me and calling me when y'all want something. But why we got to call you and talk to you? I mean, I'd like to be talked to as well. I like a conversation every now and again. But such is the same way with us with God. Our prayer times have become more of a request other than his presence. When we go into prayer, we're requesting of God for something instead of just wanting to be in his presence. So now prayer has become a give me. God, give me a breakthrough. God, I need a healing. God, I need deliverance. God. And God says, great, I can do that, but can you do this? Can you spend a little time in my presence? I want you to think about this for those of you who are in a relationship or maybe you're married. Could you imagine having no communication with your spouse and then all of a sudden your spouse say, "Hey, babe, give me some water from the kitchen." "Wait, hold. We hadn't talked in days. Now you want something?" We hadn't had no communication. And now the very opportunity that you have to ask for something, you're asking for something. And we treat God the same way. We only pray when we need something. Y'all ain't, okay, I came to swing a big bat today. I'm a 32 ounce today. I'm going for the fence. 32, the big barrel, right? And so we go to God, and watch this. We make petitions versus having presence. We want to just request from God. "God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. God, can you do this, that, and the third?" And God says, "Okay, but what about me? What about my needs? What about my desire? What about me wanting just to be spending time with you? Let me be daddy for real. Come lay your head on my bosom. Can you just come and just rest and be with me for a moment? No words, no action, just God, I just want to be with you." Amen. Now think about it. When's the last time we actually made this request or placed this as a goal? "God, I want to pray more." Amen. Amen. You know, the beginning of the year, people have these New Year's resolutions. I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more healthy. I'm going to read more. I'm going to work out more. I'm going to do all this. When's the last time you say, "God, I'm going to pray more this year"? Amen. Wait, what? Hello. When was that ever your New Year's resolution? Come on, let me see where you're at. Yeah, me too. I never said at the top of the year, "God, this year, I want to pray more. God, this year, I want to be in your presence. I want to pray more this year." And so we're talking about prayer. And this message is centered around the statement I made to my kids about them and their lack of communication. And when my son said this to me, he said, "Dad, I'll do better." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "I'm going to do better." This year, my prayer time with God, I'm going to do better. This year, I'm going to pursue better, God. This year, I'm going to seek after you better. This year, God, I am going to follow hard after you. This year is going to be different, right? This is my goal. God, I'm going to do better by spending more time with you. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is not a request or a petition really to be made of God. It's really understanding that God is present. Because if you're praying without the presence, then how are you going to get the promise? Because if you just pray, but you don't really expect the presence of God to be there, how can you expect the manifestation of that prayer? Your prayers are amiss. Can we talk? I say, can we talk? Okay. So when your prayer life increases, your awareness of God's presence increases. So when you learn to pray more, and we're going to talk of the rudiments of prayer, but when you learn to pray more, your awareness of God's presence become greater. It increases. So now when I pray, if I'm aware that God is present, watch this, everything that God is present. Everything that God has is present. So my prayer life looks different now. So when I'm praying, if I'm praying for healing, if I'm praying for provision, I'm praying from the place of him being present. So if I'm praying from that place, then guess what's present? Healing, provision, deliverance, liberty. Why? Because he's present. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So when I'm praying to that God, guess what's there? Provision. When I'm praying, God Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee, so my prayer is aware that healing is available. So I'm not praying for something I need. I'm praying for something that's already there. So what prayer does, it helps me acknowledge the fact that what God wants to do is already done. So I'm not praying for something I need. I'm praying for something that's already there. But I have to first acknowledge his presence. And now since I've acknowledged his presence, I can just receive healing. So I don't have to pray for healing. Boy, come on. I'm pulling y'all up today. It's already there. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, he was a healer then, guess what he is now? So if he heals then, guess what he can do now? So it's already done. Because he's already is. Lord, help me in this moment. And so your prayers brings your awareness up to a high level that God is present. So I want to give you some notes on how, or nuggets on how to have a better prayer life. Number one, pray regularly. Have a regular prayer life. Regular prayer life. What do you mean, Pastor, regular prayer life? This is something that you should do often, regularly, right? That you should pray regularly. Not so much as a time of day, but you should pray sometime in the day. You know, some people have designated times. They wake up early, the 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I'm gonna get up and pray. We have intercessors that pray 6:30 every morning, designated time. But watch, that's a designated time to pray for others. But prayer for us individually, we should do regularly. And that should be something that we do on a regular basis. That when we pray not just one day and all through the day. That we're often praying. And it's not something we start and stop, but we're praying. Y'all with me? Okay, so we got to pray regular, on a regular basis. Watch this. Make prayer your prime goal every day. Make it your goal. That every day you wake up is my goal to pray. Every day you wake up, make it your primary goal before anything else, before you begin your daily duty list. Say that fast if you want. You got to make sure that prayer is the top of the list. It's my goal. Before anything else, I'm praying. For anything else, I'm praying. It's my goal. And when I wake up, I'm going to hit my goal. And my goal is that to pray at 12 o'clock, not just at the lunch table. Lord, bless this meal. May it be nourishment to my body. Amen. You have to make it a regular daily goal to pray. Why? Because prayer is communication with the Father. He wants a conversation with you. He doesn't want it just once a week on Sunday because you came into the house. He don't want it just on Tuesday Bible study. He don't want it just one time a month where, you know, intercessory prayer. No, he want to hear from you. You know, most time we come to church, we want to be led in prayer instead of leading prayer. Oh, come on, Pastor, pray. Pastor, I'm going through. Can you pray for me? Woo-hoo. Right? And so God wants a conversation with you. Now, Marcus, you left this R&B spirit in here. You know, or, come and talk to me. I really want to hear from you. God wants to have a conversation with you personally. Not from the prayer line. Not from the intercessors. He wants to hear from you. You're his child. And he wants to hear from his child. Not the prayer that we prayed for his child. He wants a conversation with his own child. That's why the veil was rent, torn in two, so that we can go boldly unto the throne of grace. So that we can go boldly unto the throne of grace and make our requests known. We can go to the Father. We don't need a middleman. We don't need somebody in the middle. We don't need a priest behind a box and a veil. No, we can go personally. Because he wants to hear from us. Tell your neighbor he wants to hear from you. He is not a weekend dad. Just come and show up on the weekends. Pick you up for Christmas. He's not a CME God like some saints. CME? Not AME, CME. Christmas. Mother's Day. And Easter. Some CME saints. We only show up to Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. And that's how we treat God. We only want to see him Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. We only show up to see him Sunday, to whatever your Bible study day is, we show up then. God says, no, I want a personal relationship with my children. I want to hear from you your hurts, your pains, your cares. I want to hear from you what you're going through. But you keep sending a representative. You keep sending a representative when I desire to hear your voice. I desire to hear from you, but you got somebody else representing you. And sometimes they're not even doing a good job. I want to hear from you. So we got to make prayer our goal. We got to make prayer our goal. We got to make our appointment with God more important than anything. More important than anything. Well, baby, can we go out this weekend? No, my time with God. Can you do? No, I can't. I have an appointment with God. I can't do that right now. Can you go? No, I'm sorry. That's my designated time. I have an appointment with my daddy, and I'm going to keep it, and I can't allow you to disrupt or disturb my appointment with my daddy. It's more important than anything, because I miss that appointment, then I'm going to mess this up. Y'all miss that. Because if I don't spend time with him, then the time I spend with you is going to be jacked up. Because my attitude ain't going to be right. My temper ain't going to be right. My mouth ain't going to be right. I'm subject to say anything because I ain't spend no time with my daddy. My flesh going to act a mess because I hadn't spent. Yo, I'm trying to tell you why prayer is so important. Because if I don't spend time with daddy, when those times and those moments happen, my flesh is a mess. It desires stuff it shouldn't desire. It wants stuff it don't want. And sometimes my hand get close to it. But you know what time with the Father? Your thoughts run rampant. Time with the Father even helps regulate your thoughts. So I can't miss that appointment. Tell your neighbor, I can't miss that appointment. You got to make that appointment, that designated time. Now watch, it's that time I have set apart. Not to run from you or run from responsibility. I got to make that time designated. So just because I don't want to do a thing, I don't use prayer as a tool to prevent me from doing it. Okay, okay. Daddy, can we go outside and play? No, I got prayer. No, you didn't. You just didn't want to go outside and play. You want to go to the opera? Oh, you know, that's my time with the Lord. I'm sorry, baby. I got to pray during that time. Yeah. No, 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 no. It's that designated time that's vitally important. It's set aside and it's important above all things. Everything. Somebody shout everything. Okay. All right. Y'all got that point? All right. So see, reject every interruption that's in your human power to reject. Because you know the moment you start praying, that's when your notifications start going off the most. The moment you start praying, that's when your phone starts ringing. People hadn't wanted nothing all day long, but the moment you start praying, interruption after interruption. That's why I'm going to encourage you when you pray, don't even use your phone. Put your phone on mute, on silent. Put it in the other room. Because you know what happens is you're praying, and all of a sudden, bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, shokoto ba satara masi. And now, watch this. A real has reeled you in. Ain't that what Facebook call them, reels? It's meant to. Anybody ever got caught on a reel? You didn't really mean. You just going to check the notification, but you clicked on it. But 5-10 minutes later, you still. Because you got reeled in. Now, watch. You got stuck on this, and then now you say, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? And so we allow distractions or interruptions to come and interrupt our time with Daddy. So you have to do everything humanly possible to reject any interruption. Kids coming in. No, you know this time. When this door closed, don't you touch it. Come on now. Wifey, I know, listen, this prayer time. Baby crying, go see your mama. No. Amen. Ladies like, what about your daddy? Yeah, well, if you praying, then go send him to daddy. Amen. But that time cannot be disturbed. It cannot be interrupted. Could you imagine being with your spouse, your loved one, your significant other, your fiance? You at the restaurant. And while you're there, the waiter just keeps coming. You need something now? Can I help you? Are you good? You need some more water? And you're having a very endearing conversation, but they keep interrupting. How you going to feel? You're going to be irritated. You'll be like, hold up, bro. We good. I say, bro, we all right. We good. We good. That's how it is with God. God's like, why do you keep allowing these minor interruptions to interrupt our quality time with each other? These things that are going to prevent us from spending time one with another. And so we have to have the strength, the wherewithal, the power to reject any negative thing. Look at Psalm number 55, verse number 16. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray, and I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I got designated times, morning, evening, noontime, and night. I got designated times that I'm spending with my daddy. And that's more important than anything. More important than anything. Tell your neighbor, pray. Yeah, tell your neighbor, do better. Somebody shout out, do better. Yeah. Okay. We're going to see next month for prayer night. Number two, pray fervently. Pray fervently. Pray fervently. Tell your neighbor, pray fervently. And so fervency, there has to be a fervency in your prayer. If you were to look at James chapter number 5, verse 16, it says, therefore confess. Matter of fact, let's look at that. James chapter number 5, verse number 16, it says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. One translation says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The fervent prayers, fervency. There has to be some fervency in your prayer, some intensity in your prayer. If you read throughout the Psalms, when they prayed in the Psalms, it was musical notes to God, but it was also prayers through song. Most of those prayers through song were prayers through song in anguish. Oh, my soul is in distress. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me from the fowler of the air. They were in distress. They had such agony, intensiveness about their prayer because they really wanted God to move. And so when we pray, we got to have this fervor that comes upon us. I'm not talking about these little Mickey Mouse prayers. You know, we pray like we go to sleep at night. Now I lay me. I ain't trying to, you know, condemn anybody or anything like that. But you should grow in your prayer life. If that's the same prayer you're praying every night, it's time to change. Look at your neighbor and say, change your prayer. If that's the only prayer if that's the only way you communicate with your daddy, could you imagine getting a letter from a loved one that's the same letter that you got the last time? They keep sending you the same letter. How you gonna feel about that? Huh? And so God says, wait a minute. Our relationship hasn't evolved. That's the gist of our conversation. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is on heaven. God's like, wait a minute. We haven't evolved yet. We hadn't grown deeper in our relationship yet. To where our conversation is a little different. So there has to be a sense of fervor when you pray. There got to be some passion, some zeal. God, they prayed with such anguish. And that's how God heard their prayers. And number three, you got to pray constantly. Got to pray constantly. Got to pray constantly. Continually. Oh, well, it has to be a constant sense of prayer. Now, I know we quote this scripture all the time. Pray without ceasing. Is that even possible? Is that possible to pray without ceasing? Yes? No? Let me see your hand. No, it's not possible to pray. Good. It is possible to pray without ceasing. And I'm not talking about this, you know, walking around all day long praying in the Spirit, because the Bible says pray in the Spirit to build up your most holy faith. So that is word. Amen. So for those of you who are not filled, you can get filled so you can pray to build up your most holy faith. So if you want your faith built, it says pray in the Spirit. So for those of you who say, oh, I don't need to be filled. You need to be filled so you can build up your faith. Your most holy faith. Ah, tongues are not for today. Then how are you going to build up your most holy faith? I got another one for you. Tongues ain't for everybody. Then how are you going to build up your most holy faith? Because it says pray in your most holy faith in the Spirit to build up your most holy faith. Okay, that's for another teaching. Amen. So we got. I'm good, Pastor Adam. You got me on this side just in case they rush the altar. All right. I just felt a religious spirit come in. All right. And so we got to pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. So what does that look like? This is what praying without ceasing looks like. I make my request known to God. I communicate with my daddy. And throughout the day, I'm listening for my daddy return conversation. So I've talked, and throughout the day, I'm listening. That's constant prayer, because prayer is a two-way conversation. It's me communicating with my Father. Well, I've been in my prayer closet all day long. Lord, God, do it. And then I say, okay, now my turn. I heard you, now hear me. So prayer is an action of me now looking and listening and watching for the manifestation of my conversation with my Father. God, I pray for this. Is that it? No, son, that's not it. Okay, my bad. God, is that the provision that you want for me? No, that's not it. Okay. So my prayer is constantly now open to see what God is doing. Remember, prayer makes me more aware that God is present. So now when I go, I'm saying, God, is that you in that? Nope. Okay. God, is that you? Yeah, that's me. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So it's two ways. Somebody shout two ways. Right, so it has to be constant. It has to be constant. That's something I wanted to give you about that as well. So when you think about prayer, now I'll give it to you later. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Prayer is, unbroken communication. Somebody shout unbroken communication. Prayer is unbroken communication. In other words, after I prayed, I'm not going to allow anything to break that prayer. Even what I feel. Even what I'm going through. It's unbroken communication. So if I go to God and I say, God, I need a healing because the doctors have said that you have this sickness and disease that is unto death, then when I pray, I'm praying against the report of the doctor to give the good report of the Lord. So even after that occurs, I go back to the doctor and say, it's gotten worse. My prayer is still unbroken. My communication with the Father is unbroken. So I'm not going to allow what I see naturally or feel naturally to unbreak my communication with God. My prayer don't change. My prayer don't change. It's unbroken. Even, watch this, even when people around you say, no, it ain't possible, it ain't going to happen. My prayer is unbroken. When the negativity of others around me try to come in, my prayer is unbroken. That may be for you, but not for me. Amen. Come on. Amen. Oh, why are you praying for him? He'll never change. My prayer is unbroken. He's getting worse and worse, doing more and more. My prayer is unbroken. It changes not. Right? And so prayer is unbroken communication with the Father. There is no break in the pattern of our prayer life in our daily walk. No break in the pattern. So if I started today, there would be no break tomorrow. So if I make a pattern of praying every day, guess what I should be doing every day? Hello? Right? Just think about this. You're praying, you start a pattern of prayer or you know, even unbroken communication with God. Could you imagine having a time of break in prayer? This is what that looks like. God, you know, we've been at this thing a minute. I think I'm going to take a break from talking to you. That's what that looks like. God, I had enough conversation with you. I need a little break right now. That's what happens when there's broken communication or a broken pattern of prayer. What you say to God is, God, I don't need to talk to you today. Oh, yeah. Just throw your head back and say, yeah, 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 yeah. He says, I ain't doing that. Yeah, yeah, that's anguish. Because that's what happens. You say, God, I need a break. Could you imagine spouses coming home to your loved one saying, I need a break? What you mean? You know, could you imagine? Come on, I'm going away for about a year. I need a break from you. Right? And that's what that pattern looks like. We got to pray in this last one. I promise you, this last one is a hard one. Got to pray honestly. Can I give you something back about constant prayer and the fervent prayer first? There's a Greek word in the text that says uncovered. Nothing is hidden from God. I felt the Holy Ghost might need to hear that. So there's a prayer. Watch this. There's a part in the text that says that, amen. Told you I wouldn't be distracted. Amen. There's a part in the text, I think it's in James. I'm going to get that to you. Amen. Ah, there we go. Verse number 13, it's in Hebrews chapter number 4. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I want to tie all that together, because when we pray honestly, there's nothing hidden from God. He already knows it. So there's that word uncovering. There's a Hebrew translation of that. It's two connotations of that word uncovering. Number one is uncover is as in a sense of two men wrestling face to face, and one grabs another by the throat and controls him. That's one connotation. The second one is a man standing before a judge with a dagger up under his throat. A dagger. I ain't going to pull my knife out, but it's a knife. And watch this. Standing before a judge, that if he bows his head in the judge's presence, is death. So this word uncovering says that we come before God naked. And watch this. We can't even bow our head in shame, because he already knows it. And if you come like this, you're saying you're guilty, which God already knows. Somebody shout, he already knows. That's why when we pray, we got to pray honestly, because there's nothing uncovered before him. Nothing covered. Nothing covered. He sees it all. Got to be honest. So what is that prayer? What does that look like? Really telling God how you feel, because he already knows it. Now, you may be a little dishonest through this, but how many here, you don't have to lift your hand, your body language will tell, been mad with God before? Okay, go ahead, lift your hand. Amen. Since y'all lifting them anyway. You've been mad. Honestly, God, I can't believe. Really, God? Really, God? I prayed for this job you gave me. You took it. God, really? My dad died. God, really? We've been praying and fasting. God, we've been interceding. God, we done reconciled with family, made up and all of this for the sake of, and God, it didn't happen.
Amen.
I mean, honestly, he already know you. He already knows. He already knows what you're feeling in your heart. Matter of fact, he knew before you even felt it. He knows it. So we got to pray honestly. So are you honest with God when you pray? Are you honest? Watch this. You would tell truth to man, but you would lie to God. Woo! Think about it. I'm sick in my body, and then I don't feel good today, but you go to God and you lie to God. You tell people, hey, how you feeling today? I feel good, but praise, thank you, Jesus. I feel good today. But you go to God and you lie to him. But you tell the truth to man. I really don't like what I'm going through. I really don't like this. This ain't good. I'm sick and I don't like it, but praise God. Then you get in God's presence and you lie. You don't tell him how you really feel. You don't really bring your brokenness to him. You don't really bring your pain and your hurt to him. But you'll let that brokenness and pain play out in your relationships, but you won't let it play out with your father, because he's the only one that can heal you. So you'll take your brokenness to people, but you won't bring your brokenness to God. Oh, how do I know? Because you take your broken heart and you give it to another. And now here it is, your broken heart. You enter into a new relationship with a broken heart. What you have is really a hot mess. Instead of bringing your broken heart to God, you don't want to bring your brokenness to him. And he's the only one that can take your broken pieces and make something beautiful. But you take your brokenness and you share with others and you break everything in your pathway. Instead of going into him and say, God, I'm broken. My heart is broken. I feel about this thing a certain way, God. God, I really don't like this. It's hurting, God. This is painful, God. I don't like it. And God, if you don't fix it, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I need. See, being honest with him. I don't like this, God. God, I don't like you right now, because, you know, really, God, you're supposed to be daddy. You ain't coming through. I mean, that's kind of a little too much. Yeah. But watch how Jeremiah prayed. Watch Jeremiah. I don't know if I've been bold to say this. Look what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said this. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all help me in the back. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah said, oh, Lord, you have deceived me. Oh, Lord, you have deceived me. I was deceived. In other words, God, you lied to me. You tricked me. You hoodwinked me. You bamboozled me. You deceived me. Jeremiah prayed. He was honest. God really didn't trick him, but that's how he felt. Anybody ever felt like that? God, all this reading, all this praying I'm doing, God, ain't nothing happening. God, you tricked me. Got to be honest with God. Now, I'm not advocating that you're going on a rail in that, God, God, I hate you. But you got to be honest. You got to be honest with him. Tell him how you feel. Because he's the only one that can fix your feelings. He's the only one. He is the potter. You're the marred clay. And when you place your feelings and what you're going through in prayer in his hands, he's going to mold and fashion. You may not like the outcome, but you're going to like the outcome. Like, Lord, you're going to feel good about it. Because watch this, God is not into behavior modification. He's into heart transformation. He's not coming to fix your behaviors. He's coming to fix your heart. And in prayer, your heart will be transformed. And you'll be like, Lord God, not my will, but your will be done. I don't want to drink from this cup, but if that's your will, sign me up. Sign me up. He'll so transform your heart that watch this. When your heart changes, your situation's going to change. We have a transformed heart. So prayer is this conversation with God that he wants to enter into with us daily. Every day, a conversation. God, what is this day going to be like for us? What are we going to do today, God? Where do we need to go? Who do we need to talk to? Daddy, whatever you want to do today, I'm open. Whatever it is, Daddy. God, where you want to go out to eat at today, Daddy? You know, when I pray like that, and I pray like that every day, I end up going places where I'm needed. Oh, that sounds arrogant. No, God put me on assignment and says, you're needed there. And I show up places where people are broken and hurting, and I show up there, and God says, that person right there, that's your assignment. And I get in their boat, and now I begin to do what God has destined for me to do in that person's life. Breakthrough and deliverance happen. Because that day wasn't about me. It was about Yahweh's way, not my way. And so when I pray and have those conversations with Dad, he said, yeah, let's go out to eat. Come on, Daddy, let's go. Let's go. And then he begins to point out the brokenness in people. And I begin to point them to him. And y'all know my favorite spot, which we're probably going to be eating today. So talk with Jesus, it doesn't. Where my favorite spot at? And first, I was like, Lord, how they know that? Yeah. But watch. That's a designated place. Designated place. Time and time we go there, somebody who needs a touch. Come on now, y'all been there. Whether it's the person at the table next to us, whether it's the waitress, it's somebody in that building that needs a touch. And every time we go, that's why I go so often. That's Daddy say go there. I can go anywhere. Amen. And send me there. I get the same thing every time. I can get chicken breasts anywhere. So to answer the question why we always go there, your daddy say go. Because every time we go, somebody get touched. Every time. Every time. Every time. Somebody get touched. Somebody is standing in need of prayer. And we'll sit at the table and say, what are your prayer requests? And we all be there. How many of y'all been to Sundays with me? The hands that are not lifted, we're going today. Because Daddy's safe. And watch. Every time we're there, we're praying for somebody. We're touching the lives of somebody. And it just don't happen at Sundays. I wake up in the morning and say, God, where next? Where I need to go? Go there. Go here. Because it's a conversation I'm having with Dad. I have this conversation. Watch this. I don't have to ask for what's already present. I promise you, my prayer life has changed. I'm not asking for provision from God. It's already available. I don't pray for that no more. Because it's there. So for me, my prayer life has changed. That I don't need to pray for things that he has already made available for. For me, it's redundant. It's vain repetitious. Why am I praying for something that God says is already available to you? So my prayer life is thanking him for what's available. Father, I thank you that provisions is made available for me. And there it is, God, I receive it. God, I thank you that healing is present and I can now access that. God, I thank you. I thank you. When I'm praying for you, I'm saying, God, I thank you that you've already manifested this in their lives. And I celebrate and thank you, God. I give you the glory for what has already happened. You've already done it. It's already done. On the cross, you said, it is finished. What's finished? Everything is finished. That word finish is an accounting term, means all debt settled. Woo! Think about that. All debt settled. You had to pay for healing. Satan says, you're sick, you got to pay me back for this. Jesus said, it's been settled. It's already settled. The wages of sin is settled. It is. So when I pray, I say, God, I thank you for the settled account. Thank you. It's already done. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Father, now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we got to do better. We got to do better. We have to do better. There are people who are dying, God, that needs us to do better. The people, Father, who are going through that need us to do better in our prayer life, our communication with you, to seek after you, God, for your desires, your will, your want, your way. They need us to do better so they could be better. So, Father, it's our goal to seek after you hard. It's our goal, God, to pursue after you as a deer panteth after water. So does our soul, God, pant after you. Longing to be in your presence. Desiring, God, to be in your presence. Help us to pray, God. Teach us to pray. Only you can do it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now with your hands down, head still bowed. If you're here today and you would say, my prayer life with the Father has been a little toxic. There's been a disconnect. There has been a cognitive dissonance. You've been struggling in your thought and your opinion and your beliefs with God. And you would say, that's me, you know, my relationship with the Father, my communication with him. There's been, seemed to be some static, some fuzziness, but I want to get it right today. I realize it in my life and I'm repenting of it. If that's you, I'm talking to you. Maybe there's been something in your heart that has been blocking you in this connection with God. Maybe you're angry with him. Matter of fact, take this moment and seek after God for that thing. And then say, God, I submit it to you. God, yes, I was angry. Yes, God, I was mad. Yes, God, I was disturbed by the way things happened. I know, God, that you didn't intend it. You meant for the better for me. But God, today, forgive me for my emotions, my feelings. Maybe you're holding something in your heart towards God. Lastly, maybe you accepted Jesus Christ, but you're backslidden, did some things wrong. He's calling you back today. You're going to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You're going to repent of the things you had in your heart towards God, or maybe you're going to return back into a rightful relationship with Him. If that's you today, whatever it is, that's you, simply slip your hand in there. Do it now. Do it now. God, forgive me. Yeah. God, receive me back. God, I accept you. If that's you, lift your hand. Someone's going to come around, place a card in your hand. Keep that hand lifted until you receive that card. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, lift that hand high so they can see you. My last appeal to you today before we get out of here. You don't have a church home, but you felt the presence of the Lord drawing you to this place. It could be your first time. Your first time. You, in between, you've been searching in the wilderness, trying to find a place. God led you here. Maybe you've been here the third, fourth, fifth time. You've been shacking up. Today is the day. Today is the day. God keep bringing you back here for a reason. Go ahead and connect today. If that's you today, don't have a church home. Maybe we're in between decisions. Like, God, where I'm at is kind of dry. I don't feel like I'm growing, but God sent me here today to replant you. To replant you. You know, sometimes a plant can outgrow a pot. Nothing wrong with the pot. You just outgrew it. Right? So where you are, it's nothing wrong with that church. It's just that you need to be repotted. Maybe you don't feel like you've been growing. And you need to be replotted. Watch this. Be planted versus being buried. Things you plant, you intend to grow. Things you bury, you intend for death. And so it's time to be replanted. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? Need a church to connect with? If that's you, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. We see you. We see you. I believe there's others today that would say, that's me. That's me. Why are you looking at me? I ain't looking at you. Amen. Amen. If that's you, lift your hand. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. There's others coming around with the card. Fill that card out. Now don't play with me, Nashi. I wouldn't mess with you. Why are you messing with me? I'm teasing me, she said. Amen. Blessings. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking to you? Amen. Anyone? Amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For those of you who made the decision today, I want to say personally, as your pastor now, welcome to the family of faith, the best decision you can make. Amen. And now for your family of faith, we greet you in these loving, kind words. Elevate! How the musician going to be out of time? Come on, one more time, on the key. Elevate! Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet as we close. Upon your entry, you may have saw in the foyer R&B treats, delicious pralines, ooey gooey cakes out there. Go out there and be a blessing. It will be a blessing to you. Yeah, thank you, sir. Out there in the foyer today, support her. Believe me, it's going to bless you. Trust me, it's going to bless you. If you are not into sweets, buy something and give it to a neighbor or something. But go out and support her. She's in the foyer. Any other notes that we have? Any other things? Make sure. Let me get that all. Amen. Stretch forth your hands towards. Amen. These prayer requests. Hallelujah. Everybody got their prayer requests in? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Get them in, get them in, get them in. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You got them? Get them? Amen. Stretch forth your hands. We're coming in agreement with these prayers. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree, Father, each of these prayer requests that have been made known unto you, Father, I declare and decree right now, we come into agreement Father, for salvation and soul ties being broken. Father, we come into agreement, God, for children that are lost, that they, Father, will come into the saving grace and the knowledge. We thank you, God, for healing from childhood trauma. We thank you now, God, for a walk and a calling you even the greater and the understanding, oh God. Father, we declare and decree now, Father, for a closer walk in you. Father, we anoint and decree, oh God, that these things shall be done and established in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you now, Father, that you are working out as a healer and new employment, doors being opened now, freedom from addiction now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. God, I give you glory. We thank you in advance, Father, that healing is already there, manifesting. A newness, God, is happening in the lives of your people. Father, we bless now for strength. And we thank you now, oh God, for spiritual growth. We thank you, oh God, in advance, Father, for homes and houses, God. We thank you right now for doors and opportunities being opened, God. Growth in ministry, God. We thank you for a fresh encounter. God, we bless now. And we thank you, Father. It's already done. Somebody shout, it's already done. We thank you for the breakthrough from strongholds, God. We thank you now for healing of the kidney now. It's already done. Somebody shout, it's already done. Father, we thank you now, Father, for the loved ones listed that they, oh God, have found saving grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. God, we bless you. We thank you now that the kids are uniting and coming back together. God, we give you praise. God, we give you glory. Somebody shout, it's already done. Father, we thank you right now, Father. We thank you, Father, that you, Father, are putting the family back together. It's already done. There'll be no more struggle in marriage. Father, we thank you that kids are growing closer. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. And God, we give you honor, Father. We thank you, Lord, for finances and increase, God. We thank you for expansion of vision, God. We thank you, Father, that home projects need to be done and done, Father. We give you the glory now in the name that is above every name. We seal this prayer in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Shout amen. And if you agree, shout amen. And amen. God bless you. God love you is my prayer. We're going to see you guys on Tuesday for Bible study. Grace and peace to each of you in Jesus' name.